Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Welcome to Murder
and Mimosas,
a true crime podcast brought to you by a mother and daughter duo,
bringing you murder stories with a mimosas in hand.
Just a quick disclaimer before we get started. Our show is Murder and Mimosas. It's a true crime podcast. This means that we do discuss crimes, including but not limited to disappearances, murder, and sexual assault. All our episodes are told with the respect of the victims and the victims' families in mind. We strive to ensure that we provide factual information, but some information is more verifiable than others. With that, grab your mimosas and let's dive in.
Hi, I'm Karen Sarkissian.
Just a Ricky little bit about his life or what he was like.
Yeah. Oh, Ricky was really more like my brother. My family has, I guess, like most families, you know, strangeness. But we were very close. He is my mother's sister's son, and we remained close throughout our lives. So I really considered him my brother. We got especially close a couple of years ago because his brother was suffering from an autoimmune disease and was dying. And I was with him when he died. And I don't know. I can't explain how. We just had a special bond. He was just such a kind person. Everyone who knew him just adored him. And he was just so loving and just so giving. He was also very funny. just a funny... Don't you think he just was really funny, very dry, just really nice person. And he loved hotel management. We were born and raised in Philadelphia and he had a very thick Philadelphia accent. And we just used to joke with one another. I don't know where you guys are, but he spoke very nasal and he was very funny and just the funniest person I knew. We were just very close and he just loved hotel management. Yeah, I was just estranged from my mom for a while. And his mother became kind of my pseudo mother.
Right.
And
how far apart were you in age?
He was born 59, 5 years.
5 years. Okay.
5 years. We just stayed close no matter how far away he was. I mean, every time I each called me cuz, and no matter how far away he was, or it's just his friendship and his closeness just meant so much to me. Yeah, I'll just never forget the day he.
How did he end up in Harlem?
How ended up where he ended up?
I guess he was recruited because
he was in the food service industry.
Oh, okay.
And eventually got to the point where he was managing hotels.
Right.
And he managed a hotel down in Baltimore for a few years. Then he was in this Philadelphia area at a Sheraton for about 8 to 10 years. And that was always his thing. And I guess he got this opportunity, to manage this large resort in Honduras. It was, wow. It's on the island of Roatan, which is, it's right off of, Honduras proper. But it's part of Honduras. It's an area that's, visited a lot by, cruise ships and people who like to scuba dive. It's like a big scuba dive.
Beautiful coral bays. And, I think he liked it because he got an opportunity to, own it. And that was something, yeah.
Yeah, as part of his going there, that was part of the draw was that he would, over time, he would get an opportunity to own a piece of the resort.
Yeah, and that's what he eventually did. He was part owner, which gave him tremendous, you know, earning potential.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess there were 5 or 6 partners. That owned the property. But he was the one who basically managed the day-to-day operations.
Right.
And lived on site. The other partners are all US-based. 4 were probably never went there, if any time. And then there was one main partner who would come and go.
He was well loved by the people there. He loved the animals. He just loved animals. He used to help with the animal shelters there. And everybody's, there were a lot of people who lived there I don't know why. Some of them moved there. Who knows why? Maybe they were escaping life here. They just wanted to live in Honduras. It's not a very, I don't know. In where he lived was fine. Outside, I don't know if it was very.
Been to any of these island resorts? Usually, everything around the resort is there's a lot of poverty. There's not much there. Mm-hmm. Usually, the ride from the airport to the hotel is usually pretty sketchy, I could say. And then once you get to the resort, it's usually really nice, and you usually don't leave the resort.
Yeah,
it was a lot like that. It was a lot of poverty, low incomes, everything like that. But there were a series of very nice resorts on the island because it does attract a lot of scuba divers and things like that.
Well, the coral reefs. And he provided free trips to everyone. He provided a wedding to his so-called, I'm going to say, best friend. If anyone wanted to go down there, he provided a free trip.
Be generous to his friends and family and so forth like that. So he was always finding ways to have people visit him. I think I think it was also something for him to get to see people that he met.
Yeah, he provided. I mean, he was married at one point. The marriage did not last very long. He was in a long-term relationship with a woman, and I'll get to that. With the woman, he was not married to her. He did call her his wife. Very long term. This woman had children that he referred to as his stepchildren. And he had a relationship with a much younger woman in Honduras, in Roatan. That will come significantly in a moment.
So he was there for about 10 years.
Okay.
He was there for about 10 years. He, for the most part, he lived on the island. He had his own condo in the resort.
Right.
But his mother lived in Florida.
And he took care of her. He took care of her. He was very dedicated to her.
He was basically her principal caretaker. Her husband had passed away about 20 years ago. And he would go back and forth, you know, a bunch of times a year to visit her and so forth like that.
And if he couldn't, he would call me. And sometimes he would say, can you go take care of her? And I'm like, of course.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So the hard part is talking about what happened. Wherever you feel comfortable starting is fine. Because I know this is
hard. It was really weird because he had a young girlfriend. Fortunately, the April before he died, he did visit. And that was the first time I met her. He didn't really tell me about her. All of a sudden, he sent me a picture of her with this young woman. You know, he was very handsome. So, you know, I think he was popular that way, if his age. And so all of a sudden I was looking at my phone. There were all these phone calls from him, and that was not good.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. And he was at a football game and Thursday night. And I'm like, shit, what is wrong?
Yeah.
And she calls me, she gets through to me and she says to me, sit down. And she says, Ricky's dead.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like, I'm like, what happened? And I don't remember. I don't know. She told me the whole story, but I think she just told me he was murdered. And I'm just shaking and I'm sitting down. And what shocked me was I go online and there's all these people, and I've told people never to do this, saying, posting already about his murder. I didn't even get called. I didn't even get to call his mother. Posting, 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 posting. And then some other bitch texted me that he was just murdered. I don't understand why people do this. And then this girlfriend saying, can you go down to Florida and tell his mother? So.
Oh, my gosh.
She's old, lives by herself. She's not on the internet. She has no contact of any sort. So she has no idea of any of this stuff.
And I'm on the Facebook saying, stop it. Stop this. I didn't even get to chance. His father's brother, uncle is still, I didn't even get to tell him. And I'm trying to get people to stop this.
Yeah.
So we get on a plane first thing in the morning and I had to go down and tell his mother that her son is dead. It's one of the worst things I've ever had to do in my life. He was her world. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what happened. I didn't know anything. The people called me. I thought it was his lawyer. I learned later it was the resort lawyer. But at that point, I go down and tell this 90-year-old woman her son is dead. What happened? I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
And I talked to his partners. They didn't tell me anything. They would, one partner, he wouldn't tell me anything. I asked, can I see the resort articles of incorporation? Wouldn't give me a goddamn thing.
All we know that he was murdered overnight. We go down, we inform his mom. Of course, she's asking what happened. We can't really tell her much. And that's when we did finally get to talk to the main partner, this guy, Gene, who I guess he's the, I guess you would say he's in charge of the group, the partnership, the whatever. And he really was giving us no information.
It was nothing.
He wouldn't tell us what really happened, why it happened, nothing. So after that, our main concern was, okay, well, now who's going to take care of his mom?
Her car was somewhere.
She had recently been in an accident. So her car was at a repair shop. She didn't even know where it was.
I don't know where it was. I didn't know how to pay her mortgage. I didn't know how to get hold of his papers. There were no papers. I didn't.
Yeah, there was nothing at her house. If anything, it was all in Honduras. So we had no access to
nothing.
Anything. All we knew that was that he did a lot of things for her, paid a lot of her bills, took care of a lot of things.
He once told her, if something ever happens to me, open my safe.
Yeah, do that, though. It's not here.
It's not here.
He gave her the combination, but that's all we knew of.
That's all we knew. I had access to nothing. And I asked, you know, I need to get access of his estate. Did he have a will? I don't know. And all I got was nasty, hostile, fuck yous. Excuse my language.
Oh, you're fine.
It was like, I'm not telling you anything. This guy, Gene, said, I just spoke to the police or something at the embassy. I can't tell you anything. It's private. I let loose on him. You mean to tell me my cousin / brother is murdered? You just interviewed with the police and you're not telling me anything? What?
Until today. Told us anything or refuses to say anything as to what he knows.
Right. There was someone else who ran security. Wouldn't tell me a word. I said, can you send me his credit card information? I need to cancel it. I need to do all this. My head is like, nothing. I learned the next day the hotel held a celebration of life.
Ceremony.
God. Yay.
Now, at this point, his body's still in the morgue. His body's in the morgue, and we're trying to now figure out how to get him back to the United States.
They videotaped it at a church. We're Jewish. They did it. And I'm like, my mind.
And they put it online.
It's about, I got a hold of the.
And they posted it too.
And they posted it. I got a hold of the priest. And I said, thank you. You're kind. They didn't even know his brother's name, his father's name. And they're doing this thing. Again, I'm like, I appreciated it, but I felt it was so suspect.
Right.
What the hell are you doing? I didn't even talk to his mother. I didn't talk to his family. It wasn't even 24 hours. And you're doing a celebration. Celebrations of life take place a year later. And you're already, it was so suspect.
Right.
Then I find.
And on top, so we watched the video and half the people are in bathing suits.
Oh.
It was just so slack.
Offensive to me.
It was offensive, but it also seemed like it was slapped together for some reason to just kind of sweep it under.
He's dead. Let's go move on. And it was like offensive to me. And it was like, you didn't even get his name. It was like.
It was a mess.
And I said, get this to hell. And it was just, it was something so distasteful and disgusting about me. And then I learned a couple of days later that they arrested the beverage manager.
What do we know about the beverage manager?
So it turns out
they were close 10 years. I knew this.
It was actually his highest paid employee because we did eventually get into his emails. And
I got into his emails by having a screaming fit because I needed access to information to figure things out. I'm like, can you please give me his password so I can figure something out to help his.
Access to his work.
I wanted his laptops. I wanted something that would not give me anything, nothing.
So eventually we got access to his personal email. Unfortunately, he kept a lot of his
on his work
business records and stuff and copies on his personal email. So we got to see a lot of things. And one of the things we saw that this employee that was arrested, he was his highest paid manager or the highest paid employee there. And if you look on Facebook, you see lots of pictures of them together, a lot of, you know, I guess they all viewed him as, you know, this, you know, they all supposedly loved him.
And I'm like, what made him so angry? And from what I eventually learned, this was like a really planned assassination. Like he didn't actually pull the trigger, this beverage manager. He coordinated this, I call it an assassination, followed him.
Well, they followed him around all day, apparently, from what we can tell from whatever little court records we've seen and from the articles that we've seen online, that there were three or four cars involved. They followed him around all day because he was out. At a restaurant that night with another guy.
When he never went out on a Thursday night.
And then followed him around until he came out of the restaurant with this other guy, got in his car, and that's when they shot him through the...
Eight times.
They shot him through the glass while he was sitting in the car. The guy next to him never got touched. So it was obvious that they were targeting him.
Right. And this beverage manager...
Very well coordinated.
Got... someone else who used to work at the resort and two other guys who I have no idea to participate in this carefully planned, coordinated, what I call assassination. Like, why?
What are they gaining from this?
Where did they get the money? Because guns are illegal. I heard they got the money through the hotel. That's what I heard. Who gave him the arms?
Right.
And his girlfriend continued to live in the condo.
Interesting.
Woman who was an employee at the worked in the I guess in the gym or was, and I guess for the last couple of years they became closer, and during COVID they moved in together. She moved in with him during that COVID period, and that's when they got a little bit closer, but that was maybe about a two-year period.
And I heard the relationship. And I used to talk to him, and he used to tell me things weren't going well. Then I mentioned his other girlfriend was because he used to call her his wife.
Right.
And he was very close to her, but this woman, not so much.
Right.
And I heard through other people that the relationship was coming to an end. He liked the companionship. I think he was physically attracted to her, and he enjoyed it. But there was a stark difference with the way he talked about his relationship with this other woman and his relationship with this woman.
Right.
And other people told me when they were talking to me that this relationship was coming to an end. Even his mother told me. Sadly, she passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He was clear to her. He did not want to marry her at all.
Right.
But she stayed in that condo. I wanted something of his, like a jacket. Some of his. I never got any of his books.
Yeah, she would never release anything.
She would never release it. So I have nothing of his. I do have one jacket. I do have some of his father's, one or two, but his mother only, and that's another story. I never got anything. They wouldn't send me anything. I did get a representative of the embassy to try and open that safe. It wouldn't open.
The interesting thing there is, of course, we started talking to the embassy right off.
Right.
And they were very little help. The only thing they really helped with was, I guess, the paperwork necessary to get his body back to the U.S. That was basically
where he did ended. That.
We tried to get them to help us with finding out what happened. They refused to.
They, like you said, they wouldn't give me anything.
We tried to get them to go to his condo and secure his stuff, because that's part of what you're supposed to do with an American dies abroad. Again, they were refusing to do that. We had, I don't know, we went back and forth with them for a couple of weeks. At one point, they even said, oh, well, we don't have the money to be able to do that.
I had to send them a self-addressed on a Federal Express envelope just to get them to send me a few things, a picture.
Well, we finally got them to go because they had to fly from the mainland in Honduras to the island. And they were saying, oh, we don't have the funds to be able to do this. Now, this is the U.S. Embassy.
Right.
So like you're sitting there thinking, how could you not have the ability or the funds to do this for what you say you're supposed to do? That's right on their website. They're supposed to do all these things. So they went and they tried to open a safe, but they couldn't.
And I have a videotape.
Then we found out later that the safe was already opened by the police. So what was in it?
What was in it?
We'll never know.
I'll never know. And I have a videotape of his apartment. You would not know that his girlfriend lived there. Like he doesn't have. I have a videotape of his closet. It's full of his clothes. I have a videotape of his bathroom. I've lived with this man. How long? 30-something years? It's all my stuff. How does a man have a closet and there's not one article of a female's clothes that he's living with?
No.
We were getting we got no help from the American Embassy. We still haven't to this date. They did collect a few things for us, some pictures, a couple things. And like Karen was saying, they said they didn't have the money to send it to us. So we had to prepay a FedEx envelope. I forget, it was like a couple $100 so that they could send us these pictures and few personal items, which they collected.
That even the infinity bag, that's wouldn't even send me a box. I'm like, please just go in there. Get me. We're from Philadelphia. Can you just get an Eagle shirt?
Right.
I would treasure it for the rest of my life.
Mm-mm. That's insane.
Yeah, that the U.S. Embassy would do nothing for us. They claimed they had no funds. They claimed they didn't have the ability to do it. And that's kind of where it stands to today. I know you, Karen, constantly is bugging them and trying to get more information as to, because the trials have been going on and they happen. Whatever information we have is through the level articles that they put in the Honduran paper.
I have posted on Twitter and Facebook. Anyone with any information, please, please, please just tell me why this happened. I had talked initially to a friend who used to live in Valley Forge who moved down there. Oh, she ripped me apart. I don't know why.
Yeah, that was the other thing. It was very, Karen was doing most of the work and she was the face of this whole thing, but she got a lot of negativity as to who are you? You know, who are you coming in?
Ricky never talked about you. What's he going to talk about?
Asking questions. Why do you? It was almost as if they treated her as if she was a stranger or somebody who was trying to, you know, stick her nose somewhere where it didn't belong. It's like, who are you? And all we were trying to do was secure his stuff. Secure his estate because he did have a 10% ownership in this.
It should have been 20. Well, anyway, he was a very, very private person. Now, let's just say I was his sister, and I do think I was his sister. What is a person? He's a manager. He's private. He's not going to go around talking about his little sister. He's just not. So who cares? Florida law requires the executor of a, you know, of someone who is who dies intestate to be a blood relative. So yeah. I was the only one who could do it beside his mother. And there, even his best friend was like, well, I should have been the executor of estate. You couldn't be.
Right.
You could not be. Florida law would not allow it. And even this guy, his supposed best friend, wanted his clothes and the bullet ridden car. Like, what is the matter with you?
So I know you've taken other avenues since the embassy has been unhelpful. Can you talk about some of the other people you've reached out to for help and what that has done? Where's that gotten you?
Contacted my Congress representative, Chrissy Houlihan. I gave you basically told me to go scratch. I contacted my two senators, Bob Casey and I'm losing it.
Whatever.
Never responded because he was also from Florida and my aunt was from Florida. Never responded back. Actually, Rick Scott said, oh, thank you for your interest in foreign affairs. I've written the vice president and the president as much as I am a Democrat and do like this president. Nothing. I've written the State Department. I've even contacted them and copied them through social media. Nothing.
I guess about a year ago, we actually had a little bit of a conversation with the State Department, and it had Karen sign some.
Oh, yeah.
To talk to her, but they never responded back. They never got any information. All they do is they just keep referring us back to, you know, go talk to your lead. But he hasn't really been able to get us much. You know, he'll go and take some pictures of, you know, some camera pictures, phone pictures of some documents and things. And basically he's rehashing what we already know. But it seems like nobody wants to help. And he was, as part of the resort, he also got involved a lot in, I guess, the economic development, whatever, of the island, of the country. He was well known within their government. I know he'd met the president of Honduras a couple of times. He'd been at different, dinners and things. So he was well known. It's not as if he was just some tourist visiting.
Right.
He'd been there for 10 years. He was well known. He had a lot of connections. It was all over the papers there when it happened. So there's got to be more information out there. Somebody's got to know.
Somebody knows something. His partner, right,
who interviewed for, I think he said like 3 hours, must know something. But nobody seems to want to talk or say anything as to.
There was a person in the car with him when this happened. He's a protected witness. They wouldn't talk to me. People would not talk to me.
In fact, at every turn, they, you know, they're almost cursing you for even wanting to know. When we first started, we did secure an attorney here. Because we needed two, the one who's in Florida for the everyday stuff and then one there. And we got this one attorney initially in Florida who, I guess what, within a week or two, received a call from Honduras bad-mouthing Karen. And this guy who called was...
he's a disbarred attorney. I'm a paralegal, so I know...
No, but this guy who called was a friend of him who was also... runs this company called Bulldog Security, which is the local security company that runs security at the resort and on the island, and who also happens to be a disbarred Washington.
And I said, you're disbarred, aren't you? And he went, and I said, you're this name, aren't you? I said, you're disbarred. You cannot call yourself an attorney. Don't you ever call again. Never heard from him again.
On the phone with our new attorney who's going to handle this for us, and was bad mouthing Karen, saying that she had no place in this, that all kinds of stuff, and ruined our relationship with the attorney. For what reason? We don't know. So then we had to find a new one. Then there was another situation. We were in Florida for a week or so. I left. Karen was still there. The Sunday afternoon, there's a knock on the door. It's one of the owner of the company, or the partner. The main partner sent one of his other managers and his company attorney to visit his mom in Florida out of nowhere on a Sunday afternoon with this long document all written in Spanish. And they wanted her to sign. And basically, and fortunately, Karen was there to stop everything. She didn't allow her to sign it. And then later when we translated it, it was basically giving them power of attorney to do anything they wanted.
Oh, wow. That's just low and sneaky.
Right. So then again, now you think, well, why would they want that? Obviously, there was money involved and so forth. So
right.
obviously they're trying to swindle her out of whatever's due her. Is there other things that's going on that we don't know about that they're trying to cover up? But fortunately, we stopped that.
What's up, freaking weirdos?
Like, there were all these forces working against us.
Right.
And until today, we still don't understand why and for what reason all this was done. And again, like, it's the employees did it. But what did they get out of it other than going to jail? Because they all were going to jail.
Right.
They were convicted. So what was in it for them?
Yeah. Yeah, there's obviously something more than just...
And I would have given her. Employee. I would have given his girlfriend something.
Right.
Anyway, we were told, oh, it was just that there were disagreements between him and this... The guy who supposedly was in charge, this manager who put this plot together. But we're sitting here thinking, well, what could have been this disagreement? He was his highest paid employee.
He employed this guy's mother, this guy's girlfriend.
Right. He even took care of him through COVID. So there wasn't anything to think of, well, you know, there's a reason to kill this person.
That's right. So brutal.
Right. So what was in it, and why, and how did he also get all these other people involved in it? Because right. If it was just, say, an issue between me and this other person, why? How am I going to convince three other people? I really dislike this guy. Could you help me kill him and put yourself in jail for that?
Right. It's not adding up, and I agree.
Really, how do you get this whole group together over nothing?
And like, he had a business partner. We broke up, but I still would not answer his family's quest for answers. So right. Why won't his business partner answer a question to me?
We had his funeral in Florida after we finally got the body back. I think it was a month later we finally got it. And it was attended by, there were five of us there. It was the two of us, his mom, and then his neighbor, his mom's neighbors. That was it. None of the partners showed up. They didn't even ask. None of his so-called friends, nobody showed up. It was it was that sad of an event. So it just seems weird.
When I asked them to help me fight this girlfriend's quest to get his estate, they wouldn't even help. They just, screw you. Like, why? All I asked was for the truth. Just, can you talk to the lawyer? Tell us what you know.
Right.
If there's nothing in it for me, I don't want to say anything.
Very suspect and continues to be as to why this was done.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Well, I was just wanting to know, where did the 10% of the company go back to? Did it go to his mother? Or did it go back?
Go it back to. Actually, just the one partner bought it.
Okay.
Yeah. The main guy who's the one who had been interviewed for 3 hours and all that, he's eventually the one who bought that 10% and took back that piece to himself.
Okay.
Even more percentage in the company. He was already a controlling partner, but he just added more to his partnership.
Right.
But we made an agreement on an amount and so forth. We didn't argue much. I'm sure we could have gotten more out of him, but we just wanted to move on and get it.
And take care of his mom, which we did.
Right.
She deteriorated and we were paying like $20,000 a month for her care. And fortunately, we got it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I know that this is hard to have to relive and you don't have closure. And I know that can be really, really difficult. We appreciate you reaching out and being able to share Ricky's story with us. He sounds an amazingly sweet guy. And I read he started a Facebook page for animals.
Are you drawn to?
So with additional research, we did find that the two perpetrators that shot at Ricky was Luvis Manuel Noceso Ovinde. I'm not sure if I said that right, but he was the 34-year-old electrician technician that worked there, and Andreas Alberto Alvarado Shandia, I think maybe how you say it, 35-year-old beverage manager that also worked there that was really good friends with Ricky. There's never been a motive still that they have come up with, maybe just a dispute at work, but I still can't imagine that you're going to kill somebody over that. I don't know. So there's never been an actual motive. But the two were found guilty and are in prison now. So that's about the gist of what we could find out about those two.
Yes, and we also found out that the Honduras Appeals Court overturned Ricky's girlfriend's petition. The lower court had determined that she was his de facto wife, but the higher court reversed that decision, rejecting her evidence of photos, WhatsApp messages, and even her witness testimony that was needed to establish a de facto marriage. So that was overturned. That's all we could find in our additional research, but we have a lot of information from his cousin, of course, Karen. So that is all we've got for this one.
We always recommend more bubbly
and less OJ.
Cheers! If you'd like to see pictures from today's episode, you can find us at murder.mimosas on Instagram. You can also find us at murder.mimosas on TikTok, Twitter. And if you have a case you would like us to do, you can send that to murder.mimosas@gmail.com. And lastly, we are on Facebook at Murder and Mimosas Podcast, where you can interact with us there. We love any type of feedback you can give us, so please rate and review us on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.